Are you excited about being living for God? Amen. We're living in exciting times. Amen. I'm excited about what God is doing in our lives. Amen. God has done so much for us. Amen. He's been better to me than I have been to myself. Amen. Now, I promise you, I will keep my first pastor's advice today. He told me that a good message ought to be short and a bad message shorter. Amen. So I'll try to stick to his advice today. Amen. Are you glad that you're in the house of God today? The Bible says, I think it was David that said, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of God. Amen. You know, we've had battles this week. We've been through storms, but thank God we're in the house of God this morning. Amen. God is, we can lift up his name and begin to praise him. Amen. If we begin to praise him, amen, he'll show up every time. Amen. I like what a sign, the first church I went to had a sign back there that says, just let go and let God have his way. Amen. That's what we need to do today, is just let go and let God have his way in church, in our life, when we go on our job sites. We need to just let go and let God have his way. Praise God. Amen. I've been thinking about, I thought about this verse, and then this is just one of my side trails. But I was thinking about this verse this morning when I woke up. I was thinking about how that we've heard it said that a revival is coming. We've heard it said that there's going to be a move of God like we've never seen before. And I believe that there is going to be a move of God in Paso Robles, California. Amen. Do you believe that this morning? Amen. Do you believe that God's going to move? Amen. There's going to be a movement. Amen. I like to say it like this, that the pages of time cannot erase. Amen? And I was thinking about this verse over there, and I know this really happened. But I was thinking about a man over in the Old Testament. They was waiting on something. And they was waiting. And then he said, he went up on top of Carmel. And he said, I hear the sound of abundance of rain. And I think about Elijah over there. He said, I hear the sound of abundance of rain. He heard something first. Amen. We've heard it. We've heard it said. And I believe that there is a move of God coming. Amen. That the pages of time cannot erase. Amen. There's a move coming. Amen. A revival that's going to shake America again. But I'm thankful. Amen. I believe that there's coming a revival that's going to shake Paso Robles, California. Amen. That's going to shake Paso Robles, California. We hear stories of what God has done in Africa, what God has done in Arizona. We hear stories about what God has done somewhere else. But it's time for us to hear some stories about what God has done in Paso Robles, amen? I believe we'll see people saved and born and birthed into the family of God, amen? There's no greater revival than seeing somebody get saved and born again. I began to think about it. He said, I heard a sound of abundance of rain. And he sent his servant out there. He said, go look and see if you see anything. And the guy went out there and he looked and he went back and he said, I don't see nothing. He went back out there again and he looked. He came back. He said, Elijah, I don't know. You heard something, but I don't see nothing. And he went out there. I guess he must have went six times before, because on the seventh time, he went out there and he looked. He looked out there and he said, wait a minute. Wait a minute, I see something. Wait a minute, I see something. We got to remember now, this really happened. But the principle is this. He says, I see something. He said, I see a cloud the size of a man's hand. And Elijah said, get ready, it's going to rain. Amen. We've heard it and we've heard it, but I believe we're fixing to see a move of God that the pages of time cannot erase. Amen. That's just a side thought I had this morning. But if you have your Bibles, I'm going to be reading just a few spots in the Bibles throughout the Word of God. Are you excited this morning about living for God? Yes. Amen. Are you excited about the movement coming? We don't really know exactly what it's going to be. It's like Peter and those guys on the day of Pentecost, they just went over to the upper room and began to pray. And then the Holy Spirit showed up. And I believe he's still here today. Amen. Just going to read over in Revelation chapter 21. I'll be reading in a few different places. Starting at verse 1. It says, and I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there were no sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. And he said, and he that sat upon the throne said, behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, write, for these words are true and faithful. And he said unto me, it is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of water of life freely. He that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. But the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and adulterers and all liars shall have their part in the lake of, in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. And there came unto me one of the seven angels which had seven veils full of seven last plagues and talked with me, saying, come hither, and I will show thee the bride, the Lamb's wife. And he carried me away in the spirit to a great and high mountain, and showed me that great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God, having the glory of God, and her light was like unto a stone most precious, even like a jasper stone, clear as crystal, and had a wall great and high, and had 12 gates, and at the gates 12 angels, the names written thereon, are the names of the 12 tribes of the children of Israel. On the east 3 gates, on the north 3 gates, on the south 3 gates, and on the west 3 gates. And the wall of the city had 12 foundations, and in them the names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. Let us pray. Our Father, we thank you for this day, Lord. We thank you for this opportunity to be here today, Lord. Now, Lord, we ask that you be our preacher and teacher today, Lord. We ask that the Holy Spirit will move in this place and meet the needs in each person's life, Lord. Lord, I am very much convinced that there's not a person sitting here today. Lord, every person that's in this building today, they have a need today, God. And Lord, only you know what that need is. Lord, I pray that the Holy Ghost will begin to minister to each person that's here. And Lord, I pray that you will meet that need, Lord, in their lives. And Lord, I pray that you will continue to give us peace in a world that's upside down. Lord, we can live victorious in this present time. And Lord, I believe, God, that you are right now, God. You're very present right now, Lord. And I pray, God, that your spirit will fill this church, Lord, that the anointing of God will come. Lord, for it's the anointing of God that not only breaks the yoke, but destroys the yoke. Amen. And I pray, God, if there's one here today that is bound by whatever it might be, Lord, you see the situation. I pray, God, that you set them free in Jesus' name. Who the Son sets free is free indeed. And again, Lord, you be our preacher and teacher today, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I begin to think about that scripture, and I begin to think about how exciting it is that we got something to look forward to one day, right? We're going to get out of here one day. We got something that we can look forward to, amen. A home in heaven. Is your name written in the Lamb's Book of Life? Amen. I don't know about you, but when I think about where God brought me from and what God has done for me throughout my life, I can't help but get excited, amen. I promise you, amen, that if you get along somewhere in the presence of God, amen, it happened to me by myself in my prayer closet, amen. But if you ever one time get filled with the Holy Ghost, amen. If you ever one time get filled with his presence, if you ever one time have an experience with God, amen, you'll never get over it, amen. You'll never get over it. It'll change your life forever, amen. If you ever get filled one time right real good with the Holy Ghost, he'll change your life forever, amen. Some of the best times I've ever had in my life was in my prayer closet. Nobody around. Then you're yourself. Amen. Then you're your real you. Amen. You're your real person then. But amen, I'll tell you what, they've been some dark days and long nights. But But I tell you what, the Holy Ghost shows up in the middle of the night, in the middle of the day. Amen. You can feel His presence. And if you ever one time have that in your life, it changes everything forever. Yeah. Amen. It's not the same no more. I had one preacher say one time, they said, "Well, don't you still sin?" He said, "Yeah." He said, "I do every once in a while, but I don't enjoy it no more." Amen. And that's the truth, right? Amen. If you ever one time get filled with the Holy Ghost, you really have to work at sinning. Should I say that again? You can still sin, but you have to work at it. Amen. So it's not a mistake after that point. You purposely did it because the Holy Ghost said He came to lead and guide us and to teach us all truth. So He's our guide and our keeper. But I'm excited about what we got to look forward to in heaven. I mean, that's a good shouting place, I think, right there. That's a good place to shout. Amen. That's a good place to say amen. But I began to think about this as I thought about this scripture. I began to think about this. We got so much to look forward to. But I began to think about there's some things God's doing for His church right now. Amen. There's some things that God is doing for His people right now, for His bride right now, for His church right now. And we can shout. That's a good place to shout because we're still here. Amen. We ain't left yet. We're still here. So it's good to know that we're serving a God that's very much concerned about not only where you're going to spend eternity, but what's going on in your life right now. And I begin to think about this. One thing is for certain. Three things I want to look at real quickly, what God is doing in His church for His church right now. And I experienced every one of these. Number one, I begin to think about how that God loves His church. Amen. God loves His church. And He loved it so much. And I begin to think about this. This is a sort of another message, but it fits right here a little bit. In Ephesians chapter 5, and I'm going to read verse 25 through 30, says, "Husbands, love your wife even as Christ also loved the church and gave Himself for it." God loves you today. Amen. He hadn't forgotten you, and He's not waiting to get you to heaven. And then you can shout. He loves you right now. Amen. It says, "that He might sanctify it and cleanse it with the washing of the water by the word, that He might present it to Himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. For no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth it and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church. For we are members of His body, of His flesh, and of His bones." And I begin to think about that. Another little side note there is we're members of His body. We're members of His church. In Corinthians chapter 12, verse 18, it says, "But now God hath set the members, every one of them, into the body as it pleased Him." As it pleased who? I was praying one time, Brother Pastor, and the Lord laid something on my heart. He said, "I got good news," and He said, "I got better news." I said, "Oh, that sounds good." "I got good news and better news concerning the body of Christ." He said, "The good news is that you can't place yourself, although we try sometimes." He said, "You can't place yourself in the body of Christ where I want you." Yeah. Amen? That's good news. That's real good news. Amen? That you cannot set yourself and place yourself in the body of Christ. He says, according to as it pleased God. And the better news is they can't nobody else place you. Amen? Or maybe it should be the other way around. Good news is nobody else can place you, and the better news is you can't place yourself. Amen. Ain't that good news? Amen. God places us where He wants us. Amen. And it's God that does that. But God, here we see that God said, told the church, said, "Love you." Told the husband, said, "Love your wife even as Christ loved the church." The Amplified. Don't tell nobody in North Carolina. I'm going to read something out of the Amplified Bible, please. don't send this message to them. In the Amplified Bible in Ephesians 25 says, "Husbands, love your wives. Seek, and I like this because it says, seek the highest good for her and surround her with caring, unselfish love, just as Christ also loved his church and gave himself for us unselfishly. It says, for no one ever hated his own body, but instead he nourishes and protects and cherishes just as Christ does the church. And what I'm bringing out is, I'm not going to preach to the husbands today. I'm preaching about how Christ loves his church right now. John 3:16 said, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. 17 says, for God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. I think about that love that God has for his church right now. And it, what a great love it is. And I began to think about this verse. Might sound just a little... let me read this right quick. Over in John, very familiar scripture, talking about how God loves you. Amen. That's a good thing. That's something he's doing for you right now. Right now in this present time. Amen. We're going to need this a few short days down the road. Amen. You're going to need to know. I tell you what, Paul stood how he stood because he knew God loved him. He knew God had a love for him. Amen. And that's right now, that very present, right now. Amen. So as we walk through life, we got to know that and remember that. And I begin to think about that great love that he had. And I want to read John chapter 1. It says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the same was in the beginning with God. And all things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehendeth it not. And there was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. And he came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, to them that believe on his name, which was born not of blood, nor of the will of flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word was made flesh, and dwelt among us, and we behold his glory, and the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and mercy. So it sounds like that Jesus must have been up there in heaven, right, at one time. I mean, I read that because of this, because we're talking about how God loves you. I'm talking about how God loves you. So it sounds like he must have been up there with the Father. And I begin to think about this, and I don't think it's entered a Christian's mind to really think about it. God loved you so much that he left glory. Let that sink in for a minute. I think it's a pretty nice place to be in heaven, a glorious place to be in heaven. But he looked down through here, and he saw us, and he loved us so much that he left his blessing. He left his glory. He left everything and came down here and dwelled among us. And then he died on the cross. I like to say this, God, this is God's love. He stretched out his arms, and he left heaven for you and for me. Amen? That's a good shouting spot right there. I want you to think about the love of God. He's not going to forsake you. Amen? He paid a very high price. He loves you today. Amen? You need to know that God loves you. He loved you enough that he left heaven. I don't know about you, but that kind of gets me a little excited that somebody loved me that much, that they would leave a place like heaven and come down here and say, I'll pay the price. He said, I'll pay the price, and I'll die on the cross for these people. Amen. And he loved you so much that over there in the Garden of Gethsemane, he said, Lord, not my will be done, but your will be done. He asked for that cup to pass by, but he knew he had to drink that cup, didn't he? Amen. God loves you today. You're going to need to remember that in your storms. Does that mean things ain't going to happen? Things are going to happen. You're going to need to remember that God loved you enough that he left glory. That Jesus left glory. Jesus loves you enough that he left glory. And he came here to this earth to die for us. And I begin to think about, Paul knew that. And over in Romans chapter 8, that's what kept Paul over there. Romans chapter 8, Paul said this. He said, I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor power, nor things present, nor any other thing, nor anything to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate you from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. And I began to think about that, looking at just a couple words in those two verses. Paul said, I am persuaded. He said, I am persuaded. And that's the, Paul, in other words, was saying, I rely on by inward certainty. Or I am assured. And it's to believe and to have confidence, to be confident, or to be convinced. Paul had confidence. He said, I am persuaded. He said, I am for sure. And he had an inward assurance that nothing was able to separate him from the love of God. Are you persuaded this morning? Are you persuaded that there's nothing that is able to separate you from the love of God? I think about the word able. You look that word up. You know, I like the, in Greek it just means capable, but I like what Webster says. Able is having the necessary power, skill, resource, qualification to do something. So this morning, church, I want you to think about this. Paul said, I am persuaded. He was confident. He had an inward assurance that nothing would be able to separate him from the love of God. That word able, in other words, you can kind of say this. There's nothing or anything or a person that has the necessary power to separate you from the love of God. Amen? Amen. Ain't that a good shouting spot right there? You can say this. There's not anything or person that has the necessary skill to separate you from the love of God. Nobody, nothing has the skill to separate you from the love of God. Kind of say this. There is nothing, there is not anything or person that has the necessary resources to separate you from the love of God. There is nothing or anything or any person that has the necessary qualifications to separate you from the love of God. Amen. So number one, we can say that one thing that Christ is doing for us right now is he is loving his church. He loves his church. Amen. I'm going to read over Matthew chapter 6. I believe this, that God is also helping, he's providing, and he's helping his church. Amen. Matthew chapter 6, and verse 20, starting at verse 25. It says, therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body, what ye shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment? Behold, the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor do they gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them, and ye are much better than they. Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit unto your structure? And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow, they toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothed the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow it is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe ye, O ye of little faith? Therefore take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For all these things do the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. And I begin to think about the number two thing that God's doing is God is providing and helping his church right now, today. Amen. God is providing and helping us. And let's read over in Matthew chapter 7, and starting at verse 7, says, "Ask and it shall be given you, seek and you shall find, knock and it shall be open unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be open. Or what man is there of you whom his son asks bread, will he give him a stone? Or if he asks a fish, will he give you a serpent? If he asks then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father, which is in heaven, give good things to them that ask him? Therefore, all things whatsoever ye would that men should do to you, do ye even to them, for this is the law and the prophets." And I begin to think about, it's a blessing to know, amen. And we need to remember this in probably a little ways down the road, that God is providing for his bride and God is helping his church, amen. And we read over in John 14 and 13, it says, "And whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If ye shall ask anything in my name, I will do it." 2 Corinthians 9 and 8, it says, "And God is able to make all grace abound towards you, that ye always having all sufficiency in all things may abound to every good work." Hebrews chapter 4, verse 14, starting at verse 14, "Seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need." Amen. I'm thankful today, amen, that God is providing for his bride, for his church right now today. God is providing for us. God has help for us, and we can come boldly to the throne of grace, and we can find that help that we need right now. Amen. Now, you know, I'm confident that every person in here has needed God's help at some point. Amen. And God provides for us. Amen. And in a world upside down, ain't it exciting to know, amen, that God provides for us, that God loves us, that God helps us, and that God provides for us? I don't know about you, but that gets me excited to know that God is going to take care of us, amen, when the world's upside down. And it'll be upside down before we leave here probably. But I tell you what, we'll be standing upright, amen, and our feet will be planted on a solid foundation, amen. And that solid foundation is Jesus Christ, amen, our Lord and our Savior, amen. Are you excited today knowing that God is our provider? That God, right now, not when we get to heaven, but right now God's loving us. Right now God's providing for us. And a few short days down the road, God's going to be loving us and providing for us and helping us. Amen? And I think about this too. I want to read this just a real quick. Over in Matthew chapter 14, Matthew chapter 14 and verse 22, I won't read that, but it's a very familiar scripture over there where Jesus sent his disciples out on a boat. Sent them out there. He sent them into the storm. So now God's love and protection doesn't mean you're not going to face some things in your life, because we will face some things in our life. But over here we see a story where Jesus sent some people out on a boat and sent them right straight into a storm. But you know what? I'm glad that God is our helper. Jesus is our helper, amen, today. And we can count on him, amen, to show up every time, amen. So sure, you're going to go through some things in your life. But I begin to think about, this is God's love. I begin to think about, this is God's help. This is God's providing. So God's love, God providing. And I think about how that Peter, it's early in the morning, 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning. If you see somebody walking in the water, you probably think it is a ghost, right? You ain't going to know what that is. You know, these are sailors out there. We was in the Navy. You see somebody come walking out on the sea, and you've had a little too much to drink or something probably, right, as a sailor. But anyways, here are these guys sitting there, and Peter said, "Well, Lord, if that's you, bid me come." So he said, "Come on, Peter." And Peter stepped out of the boat. But here in just a few moments, you're going to see Peter needs some help. And you're going to see Peter is going to need some help. Amen? Now, he was still facing a storm, but he steps out of the boat in the middle of a storm. But he's going to need some help. And we're going to find out that he has a helper. Amen? And Jesus, and he steps out and he began to walk, but then he began to look all around. You ever done that in your life? He began to look around and like, oh, no, this is not good. And I thought that when I first stayed in California. But I said, boy, this is a storm. There ain't even no clouds in the sky. But anyways, I'm glad I'm here. I got a story on being here in California, but I'll share that another time. But here we see that God, that Jesus becomes a helper. See, Peter stepped out on the boat, and he started to walk, and he looked around, seen the storms, and he began to sink. And I get excited about this story. He begins to sink, and he cried out to Jesus. He cried out, he said, Lord, help me. Jesus is your helper today. Not when we get to heaven, but right now. He's our helper right now in the middle of your storm. In the middle of the battle that you're going through, he's your helper. Peter began to sink. And I've done this before. I've experienced his love, what I would say is love like this. I've experienced his help. Amen? Have you? And I tell you what, Jesus reaches out there and he grabs Peter while he was sinking. And he helps him. And I love this part. Now, you ain't supposed to speculate, I know. But so it don't say exactly how they got back to the boat. But we know that the storm didn't cease until they got to the boat. So we know that they was a short, we don't know how far Peter made it out there walking. So we know that there was a time, might have been short, that Jesus and Peter went back to that boat together in a storm. Wow, ain't that amazing? Now we know that. We don't know how long that time was. We don't know if Jesus picked Peter up and carried him back to the boat. We don't know if Jesus reached out with his hand and took him by the hand and walked with Peter back to the boat. Don't really say that, but we know the storm was still brewing until they got back to the boat, because it says then they got back to the boat and the storm ceased. So there was a short period there that Jesus helped Peter in a storm back to the boat. Amen? I thought that was a good shout spot. Amen. I love that story. So God is your, God loves you. God is your helper and very present help. Amen. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 7 and 4 says, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by praise and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. And then Philippians 4:19 says, but my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches in glory. And I'll read Amplified one more time. It says, Philippians chapter 4 says, rejoice in the Lord always, delight and take pleasure in him again. It says, let your gentle spirit, your gracious, unselfish mercy, tolerance, and patience be known to all people. The Lord is near. And do not be worried about anything, but in everything, in every circumstance, in every situation, by prayer and petition, thanksgiving, continue to make your supplication, your specific request known to God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, reassures the heart, that the peace which transcends all understanding, peace which stands steadfast and guards your heart and your minds in Christ Jesus. And I'm thinking about this, amen, how that God is, he said he would supply every need that you have. Everything that you need, have need of, he's going to supply that. He's going to be your helper in the storms. He's going to be your helper throughout this life. That's why he sent the Holy Ghost. He said, I sent the Holy Ghost. He's going to lead and guide you. He's going to help you. Amen. And I think about this, that God loves us, and he helps us and provides for us. But then I think about how that God protects his church. God stands and protects His church. Amen. How does He protect it? And I began to think about this, and this message came to my heart as I had a dream. And it was unusual. I don't usually think about dreams, but when I woke up, I thought about how that God is protecting His church. And I had a dream that an intruder came into my house, and my wife was scared. She got scared, and she got up. But then I got up, and I took my wife like this, and I took my arm like this, and this is the arm of protection. And I put my bride behind me. And I looked that enemy straight in the eye, that intruder, and I said, "You know what? This is a dream." He said, "You're not touching my bride. You're not touching my wife." And the first thought that came to my mind is that God is going to protect His church. Amen. God is going to take His protection arm. He loves you. He's helping you, providing for you, and now He's going to protect you. Amen. Does that mean you're not? That means you might still face some things, but He's going to take His bride like this, and He'll look the enemy. See, when He looks the enemy in the eye, he means what He's saying. He means what He's saying, and I think He's doing this. He said, "You're not going to touch my bride." That doesn't mean you're not going to go through things, but He's going to put you right here behind Him, and He's going to stand in front of me. I know who goes before me, and I know who stands behind me. Amen. And it's God. Amen. So He protects us. In John 14, how does He protect us? I think about this, the peace of God. Over in John 14 and 27, it says, "Peace I leave with you," Jesus saying this. It says, "My peace," and I want you to get that word right there. He didn't say some other kind of peace. Well, wait a minute. You know, think about the peace that Jesus had. Think about the peace that Jesus had while He walked on this earth. I think He had peace. Do you believe He had peace? Well, He said something in that verse there. He said, "My peace." Amen? That's what's going to protect you. That's what's going to help you. That's what's going to get you through this life. He said, "My peace I give unto you." He said, "Not as the world giveth, but I give it unto you." Amen? And it says, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." So he said, I'm going to give you my peace. He said, "And don't let your heart be troubled, nor let it be afraid." Amen. I think about over, and now you might still face some things, without a doubt, in your life. It says, "Peace I leave with you, my perfect peace I give to you. Not as the world gives, do I give to you. Do not let your heart be troubled, nor let it be afraid. Let my perfect peace calm you in every circumstance and give you courage and strength for every challenge." The peace of God. Now, we read about a man over in Acts chapter 7. We read about a man that I believe experienced the peace of God. We read about a man that I believe experienced God providing for him. I believe he experienced God's love, and I also believe that he experienced God's peace and protection. Amen. I'll just read that over in Acts. Well, in Acts chapter 9 or Acts chapter 7, it's a very familiar story. So you might go through some things in your life, but you can be assured that we have someone that's going to keep us. Amen. Acts chapter 7 and verse 54. It says, "And when they heard," so Stephen, we're talking about Stephen over here. Stephen had preached a pretty hard message. He said some pretty hard words in there. It says, "And when they had heard these things, they were cut to the heart, and they gnashed on him with their teeth. But he, being full of the Holy Ghost, looked up steadfastly into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing on the right hand of God, and said, Behold, I see the heavens open and the Son of Man standing on the right hand of God. And they cried with a loud voice and stopped their ears and ran upon him with one accord and cast him out of the city and stoned him. And the witnesses laid down their clothes at a young man's feet, whose name was Saul, and they stoned Stephen, calling upon God and saying, Lord Jesus, received my spirit, and he knelt down and cried with a loud voice, Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. And when he had said this, he fell asleep. So I thank God protected him right there. I thank God Jesus was his protector right there. Amen. Even though they took him out there and they was stoning him, and he looked up and he saw Jesus standing at the right hand of the Father. Amen. Think about now, that's the protection hand of God. They may lead you out and stone you. They may lead you out and persecute you. But I think just like Stephen there said, he laid down and fell asleep. Amen. I think that was peace. Amen. That was God's protection. Even in the middle of that being beat, stoned to death, he found the protection of God. He found the love of God in his life. He found that God provided every need in his life, and he found the protection that God had for him. And you read about, you can read over in Stephen had talked about another man in the Old Testament over there that Jesus, it says in the patriarchs in chapter Acts 7 and 9 and verse 10, it says, and the patriarchs moved with envy, sold Joseph into Egypt, but God was with him. So they sold Joseph into Egypt. It looks pretty bad right now, but it says God was with him. You'll see here that God was his protection, God was his help, and God provided every need in Joseph's life, amen, and delivered. He had to go through some things, but God was with him, amen, and delivered him out of all his afflictions and gave him favor and wisdom in the sight of Pharaoh, the king of Egypt, and he made him governor over Egypt and all his house. Amen. That's exciting to know that. Amen. I think about how that Daniel, and a good point here in the book of Daniel, how that God protected Daniel. God was his protection. Amen. And when he got cast into the den of lions. But I like something, and this is where we need to take note here, a principle here. I know you just pull principles out of the Old Testament. I know this really happened. But I'm talking about, here's a good principle for you. When Daniel got thrown into the lion's den, when they made a decree, now God protected Daniel. God was with Daniel and protected him. We found him to be his protection, amen? But Daniel didn't change anything when trouble came. See, trouble didn't come in Daniel's life, and all of a sudden Daniel said, oh, man, I better get things right. He said, I better get this thing right now. And now, I'm the only person talking to in here. I'm the only one. But how many times have you got yourself in a little predicament and you're like, oh, well, I better pray a little more. I better read a little more. Wow. Oh, well, this storm's a bad one. I better pray a little more. I better read a little more. Have we ever done that? Here's a good principle about Daniel. He didn't change anything. When the trouble came, he said, I'm going to go and I'm going to pray just like I've always done before. He was already praying. See, when trouble came, Daniel was already praying. Daniel was already right with God. Amen. He didn't have to spend 6 months getting right with God and then have the peace of God and the move of God. Daniel was already doing right. He said, I'm just going to continue to do what I was doing. I'm not going to change what I was doing. So Daniel was a man, and he stood up and he said, no, I'm not changing anything. I'm going to keep on praying like I should. It got him in trouble, but we found God to be his protection. Amen. In the den of lions. Amen. Is that the good place right there too? Amen. I know I'm going to wrap it up real quick here, but I want you to listen to this. I want you to get this because I believe that there's a move of God coming. I believe that a revival's coming, but don't wait and then have to spend 6 months into this revival trying to get right with God. Amen. Let's get right now, amen. And just understand that when the world is completely turned upside down and the troubles come, amen, that we have a God that loves us, that helps us, protects us, and provides for us, amen. We need to remember that. And I love this story in Daniel again. I love this Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. It's a very familiar story. But we felt God to be their helper. In the midst of the fire, they stood up to the king. They said, we don't know if God's going to deliver us or not, but one thing we know for certain, that today we'll be delivered out of your hands, O king. And we will be delivered today out of your hands. And they stood, said, we won't bow. They cast them into the fire, but there was good news. There's somebody waiting on them in there. Amen. They was a helper. They was a protector. Amen. God's our protector. You may get cast into the fiery furnace, but there'll be somebody waiting on you down there. Amen. There'll be somebody that's going to meet you down there. Amen. And the Bible says that we threw three men in. I said, now wait a minute. There's something ain't right here. I said, I see four men loose and walking in the midst of the fire. Amen. God was their helper, was their helper there. Amen. And I think about how that in closing this thing, closing the day, I felt these Psalms to be appropriate to God's love, God's help, and God's protection in our life. Amen. I want you to think about that because you might need that one day down the road. Amen. But Psalms, I just want to read a couple of Psalms and we'll close out here. Psalms 46. And starting at verse 1, it says, God is our refuge and strength, a very present, a right now, a very present help in trouble. I like that. I like that. That means right now. That means the mess that I'm going on in my life, the mess that's going on in my family's life, and when things don't go exactly the way you think they should go, that God is right there, and he's a very present help. Amen. It says, therefore will not we fear though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with a swelling thereof, there is a river, the streams whereof shall make glad the city of God, and the holy place of the tabernacle of the Most High. God is in the midst of her, and she shall not be moved. God will help her, and that right early. The heathen raged, the kingdoms were removed. He uttered his voice, and the earth melteth, and the Lord of hosts is with us. And then Psalms 91, read a few verses in Psalms 91. It says, he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say unto the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in whom will I trust. Surely he shall deliver thee from the snares of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. He shall cover thee with his feathers, and under his wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and thy buckler. Thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, nor by the arrow that flieth by day, nor for the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor for the destruction that wasteth at noonday. 1,000 shall fall at thy right side, and 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee. Only with thy eyes shalt thou behold and see the reward of the wicked. Behold, thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, thy habitation. There shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling. And then in closing, I thought this was a very appropriate psalm. In closing, Psalms 23 says, for the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. So let's remember God right now is loving his church. He's providing and helping his church, and he's protecting his church. God bless you, Pastor.